Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure for me to be here and lead, even as a heart failure specialist, completely unaware of the options we have in EP daily life, to answer this question very clearly, because of course the answer will be no, as you will hear at the end by my pro-speaker, of course, Professor Cook. I take the contra role as first speaker, which gives me, of course, also the option to be a little bit provocative. And Professor Cook, you may then reply. Here are my disclosures. Dear colleagues, we just heard elegant discussions on risk prediction of sudden cardiac deaths in heart failure patients. And what we have at the moment are not EP measures of risk. We just discussed, Professor Haverkamp discussed, that ejection fraction might not be the best choice for risk prediction. We get new markers for risk prediction, fibrosis, LGE, myocardial strain, scar tissue, modeling in the future. But the classical EP measures were not as successful as they should be. I want, within the next 15 to 20 minutes, go through 5 points very briefly. First, heart failure is heterogeneous, deadly, and of course it is associated with arrhythmias. And if we talk about heart failure, we have to keep in mind that heart failure may be divided and classified by a number of measures, but ejection fraction is still key, and these are the recent ESC heart failure guidelines where we have heart failure with reduced, mid-range, and preserved ejection fraction. And mostly, if we talk about sudden cardiac death, and I heard a question on that a minute ago, we talk about HFrEF patients. And the other big part of heart failure patients, preserved and MREF, they are not covered by this discussion. And clearly this is wrong, and I will show you in a second why. And clearly here you need the heart failure specialists, because they are going to classify and stratify these patients for your interventions at the end. Irrespective of the ejection fraction, a patient with heart failure has a bad outcome. It is a deadly diagnosis. And here are, from recent trials, the event rates. The event rates per 100 patient years center around 19% in HFrEF and 15 to 16% in HFpEF from Paradigm and Paragon. And these are the most recent data. So the outcome in PEF is almost as bad as in REF, albeit we see possibly a little bit less of sudden cardiac death. Of course, heart failure is associated with arrhythmias, and we know, irrespective of ejection fraction, PEF, MREF, REF, 30 to 40% of our heart failure patients do have atrial fibrillation. And you, Professor Cook, and others published elegant studies how you can manage and treat AFib with ablation in heart failure. I think that book is still open, and we need to still further work into this direction. And I'm convinced there will be subsets of patients who will benefit. But I think at the moment it is clearly too early to, in general, recommend AFib ablation in patients with heart failure, but it is a very interesting strategy. Of note, atrial fibrillation in heart failure results from atrial remodeling during the progression of heart failure. So, of course, my view here is, instead of tackling the symptom, and I will come back to this later on, we have to even much better understand the processes that drive left atrial remodeling and interfere much earlier with these processes before atrial fibrillation arises. Ventricular arrhythmias and sudden cardiac death are probably the most prominent cause of death in HFrEF. And these are data from the PARADIGM trial published 6 years ago, where 45% of all cardiovascular deaths were sudden cardiovascular deaths, most probably arrhythmic. So that is still a big problem. We may not forget that sudden cardiac death is also a key problem in HFpEF. And these are outcome data from recent HFpEF trials. TOPCAT, you can see those who died from a cardiac cause, that a third of these patients had sudden cardiac deaths. So it is wrong to assume that in HFpEF, sudden cardiac death and malignant arrhythmias play no role. It is the opposite. And we already heard that in the discussion. And this was not only in TOPCAT. That could be observed in all randomized clinical trials in the field of HFpEF and MREF. So please, let's not forget, in all types of heart failure, arrhythmias are a prominent cause of events and death. And that is important. And clearly here that mandates a close interaction between the heart failure specialists and the EP specialists, because sorry to say, guys, that's the heart failure people who do see these people, and we have to interact and discuss with you and team up with you. But we are not going to be dominated by you. Sorry to say. There are other interesting aspects in HFpEF that are completely overlooked so far, and where the clinical relevance is unclear. And we have no modality how to manage this. Dyssynchrony in HFpEF, for example, may be a major factor for diastolic dysfunction. So you have dyssynchronous contraction and dyssynchronous relaxation. So that's an important point. And for example, in iPreserve, that was a prominent finding, that a significant subset of HFpEF patients did have significant QRS prolongation time. And that beared prognostic relevance, because those with a broader QRS complex had a higher event rate and a worse prognosis. So let's not forget that not just sudden cardiac death, but also other measures that we obtain, mechanical measures or ECG-derived measures, are important. So our principal view is, and Professor Haverkamp already alluded to it, we of course need a heart failure management by a heart failure specialist, but then we needed targeted therapies in subsets of patients. And of course, here we have to interact with our EP colleagues. That's no question. But the person who is here, you know, on the top, who sees all these patients, he has to dissect this. And here we have to get the information from you how to do this. Now, my other points are very brief. First, please understand, arrhythmias in heart failure have a myocyte and fibrous tissue, connective tissue basis, mechanical basis. And probably it will be more effective to touch the base of the problem. As we have seen here, the cause is the problem and then the symptoms. Probably we have to be earlier and cover the causes. And you know, we have reentry mechanisms in patients with propensity towards sudden cardiac death, but also triggered arrhythmias on the right here, delayed after depolarizations, for example. That is not a primarily electrophysiological problem. That is due to dysfunctional calcium handling of the cardiomyocyte. And heart failure specialists worked on that underlying mechanism and identified why delayed after depolarizations are so prominent in heart failure. This is SR calcium overload, overactivity of the sodium calcium exchanges, and triggered activity. And Silvia Priori, with whom we worked together in this EU project, elaborated this nice, which I'm not going through in detail, diagram, where triggered arrhythmias are a consequence of dysfunctional ranodine receptor calcium release gating, leading to alterations in calcium and sodium handling, membrane destabilization, and arrhythmias. And Andrew Marks and others are working on calcium stabilizers in order to prevent triggered arrhythmias. And of course, delayed after depolarization and the same subcellular mechanisms may clearly be involved in the generation of promotion of atrial fibrillation. A few other studies from the SAFE trial 2 decades ago, it is very clear that the more the left ventricle has dilated, the higher is the propensity towards arrhythmic events. So progressive remodeling, adverse remodeling, underlies progressive propensity towards arrhythmias. We can also see that unloading of the heart with reverse remodeling improves ECG measures of cardiac function and reduces arrhythmic burdens in heart failure patients, HFrEF patients. And we can also see that reverse remodeling associated with response to CRT is associated with a reduction in the burden of ventricular arrhythmias. So let's prevent remodeling in heart failure, thereby preventing the occurrence of malignant arrhythmias or atrial fibrillation. And let's reserve specific EP therapies in the future for those where we cannot prevent it, and let's work on it. Very briefly, heart failure medications largely improve arrhythmic burden and the risk of sudden cardiac death. An example comes from the PARADIGM study. I showed you 45% of deaths came, cardiovascular death was arrhythmic. And that was significantly reduced through mechanisms that we do not yet fully understand by the treatment with sacubitril valsartan. Is this reverse remodeling? There was no imaging substudy, so we cannot say this for sure. But the prognostic benefit from sacubitril valsartan in HFrEF is related to reductions in sudden cardiac death. And that has been shown previously for other key heart failure medication, such as MR antagonists and beta blockers. And in consequence, our guidelines clearly recommend as class 1A indication these therapies to prevent sudden cardiac death in HFrEF. And I want to remind you here that there was a recent New England Journal publication from my friend and heart failure specialist, John McMurray, who showed that with these heart failure trials, the overall risk of sudden cardiac death in HFrEF has significantly declined over the last 20 years. This is a success story. Let's also remind, and this is my last scientific point, that current ongoing cutting-edge trials on arrhythmia management in heart failure are always team approaches between heart failure specialists and EP specialists. Nobody wants to dominate the other here. One recent trial, my friend Bill Abraham, together with Professor Cook here in the audience and Gerd Hasenfuß, renowned heart failure and EP specialists, have published recently that cardiac contractility modulation may also be beneficial in those patients with a more preserved ejection fraction. This is hypothesis generating. I can see it exactly. This is below and this is above 35%, that those with a higher ejection fraction do clearly benefit from cardiac contractility modulation, that we have to dig into this further. And another aspect, we elaborated on the force-frequency relationship 10, 20 years ago, and we see that the force-frequency relationship in HFrEF is clearly blunted. And this group of authors took this idea up, and they said, if we tailor rate response programming to the force frequency relationship in the individual heart failure patient, is this a benefit? And they could differentiate In non-invasively, the force frequency relationship in HFrEF patients and in controls, and they could show that a tailored rate response programming according to the force frequency relationship in the individual patient yielded beneficial overall clinical results, again, hypothesis generating. Let me come to the end of my presentation. And what do our current recommendations say? And first of all, our heart failure people recommend here that a specialized heart failure training also includes modules of electrophysiology, specifically device therapy here. And that is something we should discuss, how far they should go into it, but that is a clear-cut ESC recommendation. And I would like to remind my pro-speaker now that we share a common publication between ERA and the Heart Failure Association, where we combine forces how we should together manage these high-risk patients in the future. And I have a suggestion for you. We should team up, and you should use our possibilities and option to stratify patients with heart failure. And we need you for a better management of these patients. And if we then, and that is what Professor Haverkamp already mandated, if we can then delineate subgroups of patients that benefit from the one or other therapy, then I think we have won the race. Dear electrophysiologists, please relax. Otherwise, you will get atrial fibrillation. As this very recent trial, which is online from the ARIC study, which is not an EP study, I must say, from the ARIC study shows, and they showed the more you are stressed about your heart failure colleagues, that is assessed here, the higher is the odds ratio for you to get atrial fibrillation. So relax and let's work together. And thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very, very much. That was courageous to stand in front of 350 EP guys and tell them they are not needed, or at least only little brothers. Thank you very much. It was excellent.